the magical box is a forum in which we can ask our questions to a forum or group of senior devotees. You see us already sitting here. Just for you to understand how it works, we always have to have a Kumari who shakes the questions and picks the questions, because they are the most pure, and maybe our senior devotees, who are also very pure, will use their mystic potency to ask, to draw questions which they want to draw. And to avoid that, we have a totally neutral question drawer, in this case, Rushani. Rushani will pass the question to me, and I will then read it, because I have special reading glasses for this purpose, and then translate it in this case, because although Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Smita Krishna can actually speak very many things in German, it might be more convenient for them to have them in English in case there is a German question. So the main point of this is, also it's very important, just like I had requested you to ask questions which are very important for you, which are deep in your heart, real questions. I will now ask Smita Krishna Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and also myself to observe the following rule. We will be as brief as possible, because there are many questions by now, so that we really can give every question a chance. If, however, one of the Swamis would feel that, oh, I wish to comment on this question, it has been already answered by this one person to whom this question went, but I also feel that this is such a question which deserves also an answer from another perspective. It is not only fully all right, in fact, it is wanted. But if you feel... But the main thing is we want to be brief so that we can have many questions. So now, Rushani, schüttle die magische Box sehr gut und dann völlig unparteilich eine Frage suchen. One says open, another says don't open. I would say half open it. Then we have a compromise between the two. Okay. Please concentrate. The window will not give you answers to this question. Concentrate now on the question. Do first initiated devotees reach Goloka Vrindavan also? Or do only devotees with Brahmana initiation reach, who have received the Gopal mantra, reach that goal? I feel this is a question which goes directly to our Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who lectured very nicely about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The question is clear. Is the question clear to all of you? Have you listened? Good. Please read it again. You have not listened enough. Okay. This will be the only question which is repeated twice. We will be very concentrated from this moment on. Do first initiated devotees reach Goloka Vrindavan also? Or do only devotees with Brahmana initiation, who have received the Gopal mantra, reach that goal? Where is the microphone?
For now you can take this.
Okay, yeah.
Where is the other microphone, Kiyo? Oder Ananda Chaitanya? Oder wenn das nicht funktioniert, dann natürlich nicht.
In order to make our access to Golok Vrindavan possible, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave us the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can go back to Golok Vrindavan. To go to Golok Vrindavan, therefore, there is no need to have second initiation. But, of course, second initiation helps to understand the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But the question, the point is, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can go back to Golok Vrindavan.
Any devotees who consider themselves to be Krishna conscious and believe to serve in devotion, but in their heart they have not yet accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Absolute Truth. What kind of platform is this where one acts like this? Why are such devotees at all in the movement for Krishna consciousness? Huh? So Prabhupada said there are devotees who think of themselves that they are Krishna conscious, but they have not really accepted the Supreme Lord in their heart. Smita Krishna Maharaj, I see you have taken the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, and you, it says, 9th chapter, 12th verse. But it may take long for you to find the sentence, and maybe you...
Yes, we may ask, why? What comes to my mind is the 7th chapter, Shatavidyabhijantaman Ganasukritan Arjuna. There's different devotees come with different motivations. For some is just in distress and looking for relief from distress from the association of devotees. Or maybe looking for money, maybe. That's the one in need of wealth. Who knows, can put on, yes, I'm a devotee, and take to the devotional service as a means to enhance the business. Maybe like in India, I'm a life member, could be fit in. That's the curious. Well, the curious comes and takes to devotional service. We could then imagine that at one level you may not yet fully have accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but is willing to explore it. And then there is the Jnani who surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna says that is the best one because he is fully he surrenders in full knowledge that Vasudeva Savamiti, that Krishna is Vasudeva, he is all in all, there's nothing else than him. So we can say that is the one who, the devotee who has fully realized Krishna's Godhead. And but then Krishna says that they're all pious because they tried to surrender to me, but of course they may then have some ulterior motives. Just get out of distress, or want to have money, or maybe just curiosity. That would be my response to that.
That's it. Sachinandan Swami said in one class, we can attain Krishna only by and service-oriented attitude. In how far can we as servants challenge Krishna to show himself to us? Not challenge Krishna, demand of Krishna that he shows himself to us. Lala Babu have not such an attitude when he investigated the deities, whether or not they were living. This is a question directed to my seminar. Yes, it is very, very clear, and I believe this was the whole content of today's class, that we can never ever demand of Krishna to show himself to us. That's not a devotional attitude. That's not this attitude of a servant. To demand anything of Krishna would mean that we would try really to control him and be his master. That's very important for us to understand that whatever we do, Krishna is the enjoyer and we are meant to give him enjoyment. An area where this is maybe sometimes overlooked, maybe the chanting. Sometimes we might sit down to chant to really enjoy a nice kirtan. But a better attitude would be to sit down and chant to give really pleasure to Krishna's senses. See, Krishna is already in the position of the supreme enjoyer. We can never become happy if we try to replace him. It's almost like the root of the tree is already the root of everything, and to give, and if the branch wants to have a good life, the water needs to go to the root of the tree, and not to the branch. So please shake the next question very well. Das sind alles sehr nice Fragen. Ich überlege mir immer noch, Smita Krishna Maharaj und Bhakti Charu Maharaj, vielleicht sollte ich manche Fragen auch in Deutsch über, also, maybe the questions which I answer myself, I could, for a change, I could speak in German, because I know you understand everything. Then I just do something in English also. In a but very... So here is a translation necessary. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna enjoys Krishna Prema. And in Navadvip, he distributes Krishna Prema. Can the souls in these two locations change back and forth, or do they have to decide say, okay, I'm on this place and not at another place? It seems to flow very naturally. This is obviously a question for our Bhakti Charu Maharaj, because it is so much related to your seminar.
In the spiritual sky, everything happens by Krishna's divine arrangement. We can say in the spiritual sky, everything is happening by Krishna's divine will. There, the living entities, Krishna's parts and parcels, don't have a separate desire. In the spiritual sky, everyone's desires is completely tuned up, perfectly tuned up to Krishna's desire. And it is by Krishna's desire, if Krishna wants, Krishna can make one into many, or Krishna can make many into one. For example, we see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, many of Krishna's associates from Vrindavan came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Like, for example, Sarup Damodar is Lalita Devi, Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Devi, Balaram is Nityananda Prabhu, and so forth. So here we can understand that one from Golok Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu is... Krishna's associates are becoming Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And also, as I said, like many, one can become even many, and many can become one. For example, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, who is Ramananda Roy, he is actually Lalita, Vishakha, Arjun, Krishna's friend, and Arjun of the Pandavas. The four personalities became one. So how is it possible? Now, the answer is, by Krishna's divine arrangement, everything is possible. Therefore, Krishna's arrangements are inconceivable. We can't rationalize it. Okay, so now to go back to this point, yes, by Krishna's arrangement, somebody can be in Vrindavan, and the same personality can also be in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. Somebody may be participating in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, providing Krishna prem to Krishna, relish for Krishna to relish, and the same personality can be in Navadvip distributing that Krishna prem. And now, in this regard, one thing also is very important to consider. Prabhupada said that those who are in Navadvip, they already have access to Vrindavan. But those who are in Vrindavan, they may not have access to Navadvip. Not that everyone who is in Vrindavan has access to Navadvip, but those who are in Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Golok Navadvip, they also have access to Krishna. Because those who are in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they already know about Vrindavan activities of Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. The brilliant talk in magic box I've ever experienced. Very good. Dankeschön. Smita Krishna Maharaj, how can I recognize who is my spiritual master? Actually, German word is woran kann ich erkennen? It is something like by what qualities can I recognize my spiritual master?
Well, in the story about Dhruva Maharaj, he had his mother's spiritual master, Vatmana Pradashika Guru. And even his stepmother said, you know, you go to the forest, or you have to die, and then you can take birth from me, or something about going to the forest and then leaving the body. The mother said, yes, go to the forest. Sometimes the sadhu sees Krishna or Narayan there. So that is said, that was like a Vatmana Pradashika Guru, one who showed the way. So we can say you recognize the Vatmana Pradashika Guru by that person shows you the way. And then there is, Vatmana Pradashika. Then it's mentioned by the Shiksha Guru. Narada Muni came and gave him instructions by which he could progress towards seeing Narayan, and he also gave the mantra. So there we can see is the Diksha Guru. So there we have the Guru recognizing one who gives you instructions that inspires you in the spiritual life and guides you in the spiritual life. And then it's said that mostly that one also becomes a Diksha Guru who gives a Diksha initiation. So in that way, well, who gives instructions that guides you and inspires you in spiritual life? And then maybe Vatmana Pradashika Guru, maybe your mother, maybe the temple commander, whatever, preacher, but then more qualified instructions, Shiksha Guru, and see, where do you get the instructions from by which you're inspired and progress in your spiritual life? I would say that will be your guru. And then, of course, coming in the proper Guru and Parampara and having some qualification as well. Hare Krishna.
Very good question. Also, these are wonderful questions.
Wie können wir im Kali Yuga mit der Eigenschaft des Neids umgehen? Or in English, how can we deal in Kali Yuga with this quality of enviousness? I believe in order to deal with enviousness, you need first of all to understand what enviousness really means. The Yaksha asked Yudhishthira, what is envy? And envy said, and Yudhishthira answered, enviousness is the sadness of the heart. See, when we are envious, we are really allowing sadness to enter our hearts. Oh, here's someone who has something which I do not have. This is the mood. I want to confess that there was a time when I was in very, very good and friendly ways a little envious of Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Bhakti Charu Maharaj had made these films in glorification of Srila Prabhupada called Abhay Charan, and they were shown both on the Indian TV channel and also in our ISKCON congregation. I thought, what a glorious way to glorify the spiritual master. I could never, ever do this. And I felt sad. Why am I so left-handed? Why am I not so intelligent? Why am I not able to enrage people and resources in such a delightful glorification? And at that time it was that I understood what enviousness is, a sadness of the heart. And I do remember that I went deep into this sadness of the heart and wanted to find out how to deal with it in a Krishna conscious way. And I found out that, you know, the worst mistake you can make is to think Krishna can only be satisfied in one way, or Prabhupada can only be satisfied in one way. And then if you can't satisfy Krishna in this one way, because you lack the skills or just the gifts, that therefore you cannot satisfy Prabhupada or Krishna. This is a very widespread mistake in Kali Yuga. It's called comparing yourself with others. And it really kills us, and it's not a right way to act in spiritual life. Each one of us can satisfy Krishna, provided he or she gives his best. So when you are envious, the first step is really to analyze, oops, why am I so sad in my heart? And then to recognize the mistake that you lack something. You never lack something. You can always, from any position, in any situation of life, satisfied Lord Krishna. I would like to conclude this answer with a little story which is told in Prabhupada Lilamrita about Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada spoke of one devotee who went back to Godhead. This devotee was one of these widows which you find in Vrindavan by the thousands, whose service was to go every morning when she would take bath in the Yamuna and bring one lota of Yamuna water to the pujari of the temple. It was the Radha Damodar temple. And this water was used to give an abhishek to Krishna or to Damodar. She would come in the morning and bring the lota before the altar. You know, the curtain was closed and the altar was closed. And at one stage, the pujari would take the lota from there, take it inside the altar, and then use it to give a bath to Lord Shri Shri Radha Damodar. And then, when the water was used, the lota was placed again before the deity door, and the widow would collect it, the lota, and then repeat the same procedure of service the next day. One day, the lota was not there any longer before the altar. The pujari rightly concluded, oh, the widow has died. She didn't go to take a bath today. Prabhupada said, for this simple service, the lady went back home, back to Godhead. So whenever enviousness comes into our heart, please remember, Krishna is satisfied by any sincere service which you do according to your capability. Maybe also this Bengali widow lady was not in the position to make a movie about Srila Prabhupada or anyone or anything in Krishna consciousness. But she went back to Godhead. So this might help to deal with enviousness. Understand what it is. Understand you do not need to compare yourself with the gifts of others. And third, just sincerely do the service you can do. And you will feel a satisfaction in the heart which destroys the enviousness which is still left. Hare Krishna, I really hope I have not embarrassed Maharaj, but he already knows I'm an ocean of bad qualities. So, but it was not really a dangerous or bad enviousness. It was not mixed with any. It was only full of really high feelings of appreciation. Yes. Yeah. Although today Smita Krishna Maharaj has addressed the question of a spiritual master, for variety, and it seems to be also the natural order of things, we will break the order after some time if it's necessary, I would like to address this question to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. When does one feel or know that it is time to take on a spiritual master or accept a spiritual master? And second part of the question, how really is the exchange between the spiritual master and the disciple? How does it function practically, that exchange?
When does one need to accept a spiritual master?
Oh, when does one feel it is now the time for me to accept the spiritual master?
Okay.
When does one know, maybe? When does one know, now I have to go in this direction?
One actually feels the need to accept a bona fide spiritual master when one becomes serious about spiritual life. It is only by the mercy of the spiritual master that one can make spiritual advancement. Previously, His Holiness Smita Krishna Maharaj explained it. There are three types of spiritual masters. One is a Bhatma Pradarshak Guru. That means the personality who shows the spiritual way. He gives us the initial informations about spiritual life and he shows us the way. So that is called Bhartma Pradarshak Guru. Bhartma means path, Pradarshak means indicator, and Guru, the spiritual master. The spiritual master who shows us the spiritual path. That's the first spiritual master. And then there is Diksha Guru, the one who gives the mantra. Actually, mantra is the foundation for spiritual advancement. Mantra is the spiritual sound vibration. Mantra are the sound vibrations that comes from the spiritual sky. Mantra is not just some words. Mantras are actually the sound vibration from the spiritual sky. And these mantras, the meditating upon the mantra, the spiritual reality becomes manifest in our heart. That is called Dibbogyan or transcendental knowledge. So, mantra is essential to make spiritual advancement, progress in our spiritual life. And that mantra is given by this Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master. And then the instructing spiritual master, one who instructs us on our spiritual path, that is our instructing spiritual master. So these are the three types of spiritual masters. So the point is, when we become serious about making, or when we become serious about accepting spiritual life, we must accept a spiritual master. And what was the second part of
And
that?
How does the exchange between guru and disciple practically functions?
Yeah, guru gives the transcendental knowledge and disciple accepts it. The spiritual master is the teacher and disciple is the student. So the relationship or the exchange between the spiritual master and disciple is something like the exchange between the teacher and the student. But this is a very special subject. This is a subject that is not acquired by our intellect. You see, we have two faculties. One is head and the other is heart. One is our intellect and other is spirit. The head or the brain center is the seat of the mind and intellect. And heart is the seat of the spirit soul. The mundane informations, mundane knowledge is received by the head. In our memory, we store the informations. But that is not the way one receives spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is received by the spirit soul, by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord, who imparts that spiritual knowledge unto that devotee or the student or the disciple. In this respect, Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, the process is tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinah. The process of acquiring spiritual knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master is that one must surrender unto him. Pranipatena. And pariprashnena, he must inquire from him sincerely about this spiritual subject. And then sevaya, by rendering service unto him, he must please him. And then upadekshantite jnanam. Then the spiritual master will impart the knowledge unto the disciple. Because he has it. Since he has it, he can just say, I am giving it to you. In this respect, one very nice incident has been mentioned in Mahabharata. There is the incidence of Upamanyu and Dhauma. The Dhauma Rishi, the sage Dhauma, who was actually the guru of the Pandavas, he had a disciple called Upamanyu. And he told his disciple to go, and he got the news that the barrier to the paddy field has broken, and as a result of that, flood water was coming into the field, which would have destroyed the crop. So he told Upamanyu, you go and mend the barrier wall, the small wall on the paddy field. And so Upamanyu went to the paddy field, and then at the end of the day, the Guru Dhamma Rishi noticed that Upamanyu didn't come back. So he asked his disciples, what happened to Upamanyu? And they reminded him that you sent him to the paddy field to protect the field from running water. And he didn't come back. So it was already dark, it was night, so Dhamma went to the paddy field along with his disciples, and he started to call out by the name of Upamanyu, where are you, Upamanyu, where are you? And Upamanyu responded, oh, my spiritual master, I am lying on the field because you asked me to protect the field from running water. And since I couldn't mend it because the gap was already too big, I'm just lying down there, and with my body, I'm actually protecting the field. So spiritual master told him, okay, Upamanyu, you just come over. So then Upamanyu came, and Dhamma told him that I bless you, that all the four Vedas become revealed in your heart. And all the four Vedas were instantly revealed in the heart of Upamanyu. So that is one of the anecdotes that have been mentioned in the beginning of Mahabharata to indicate that the spiritual knowledge will be revealed by the mercy of the spiritual master. So this is how the transaction takes place between the spiritual master and disciple. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to ask one question. Like, the answers that you are giving, is it clear to you all? Are you understanding it? Because we are not giving you any opportunity to question. Because we are just dealing with this question. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I have a question to you, Maharaj. First of all, I want to thank you very much for really pointing out that receiving spiritual knowledge is really not something of the intellectual brain capacity, but of the heart capacity, which is softened by service. Like you, I'm receiving many devotees who want to know about this question, and very often in the German, in this area, the question is, in ISKCON, how is this training really going on? In your story, there was Domya with his group of disciples. It was all like a gurukul, localized. They were very close and packed together. But nowadays, we see that our movement has covered the whole world, and our gurus naturally expand the mission of Krishna consciousness in many parts of the world. They are not staying together with their disciples for a long time in one place. So I believe if you can answer this, then all of us will be very benefited, and generations to come, we know the right answer.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. It's a very, very pertinent question. Yes, previously the spiritual master and disciples relationship or exchange used to take place in a smaller circle. The spiritual master used to have his ashram, and his disciples used to stay with him, and the spiritual master used to give them the guidance to make spiritual advancement. But in the age of Kali, there has been a need of a much greater propagation of Krishna consciousness. And therefore we notice that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Sankirtan movement and made a prediction that this movement would spread in every town and village. And then we notice that Mahaprabhu's movement actually practically became lost. And then the revival started by Bhaktivinoda Thakur after about 350 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he revived this Krishna consciousness movement, we notice that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a very systematic structure in the form of his Namhat, that we see a structure. In the structure, the head of the thing is Nityananda Prabhu. This structure that he gave is something like a business, a corporate structure. Like you have the sole selling agent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the manufacturer. Nityananda Prabhu is the sole selling agent. And then there are other distributors who are actually, they have agency. And then there are sub-agents. And then finally there are retailers. So this is the marketplace of Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. And what is the commodity? What is Mahaprabhu selling? Mahaprabhu is selling Krishna Prem. And what is the price with which we buy Krishna Prem? With the price of Shraddha, faith. The more the faith we have, the more we will able to accumulate this prem. And so in this way we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a very systematic structure to distribute this Krishna prem. Then came Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave a practical structure of that, that blueprint that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, and that is Gauriya Math. Unfortunately, after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, his Gauriya Math disintegrated. It fell apart. But then Srila Prabhupada came, and from the ruins of Gauriya Math, Srila Prabhupada actually revived the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada spread Krishna Consciousness movement all over the world. And it is natural, like if we want to spread Krishna Consciousness movement all over the world, then we need a very, very systematic structure. Like if you, for example, if you want to establish a business that is going to be established all over the world, what do you need? Don't you need a very, very powerful structure, a multinational company? So similarly, Srila Prabhupada actually created this multinational company to sell the spiritual commodity of Krishna Prem. And that company, which is actually the largest multinational company in the world, and that company is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for the perfect propagation of Krishna Consciousness movement for thousands of years to come. Now, in this structure, now as Maharaj pointed out, that there are many, many spiritual masters. And they have to travel around. Like all the spiritual masters in ISKCON, we see in most cases, they are not stationed at one place. They are traveling around. Like even though they don't want to travel around, they are forced to travel around. They can't help it. Like, I mean, you have seen that. Now, and these gurus of ISKCON, they are traveling around accepting disciples, and they cannot really personally take care of their disciples. Now, in a situation like that, what do we see? What do we find? We find that Prabhupada actually has created the perfect arrangement. That arrangement is, in Prabhupada's arrangement in ISKCON, the temples are the units. Prabhupada himself established that structure. In ISKCON, the unit is actually the temple. And in the temple, devotees will have the facilities to receive knowledge, become engaged in Krishna conscious activities, and cultivate their spiritual life and protect their spiritual life. So that is available in the temple. And in the temple, we have the programs. Like for example, ISKCON, if we consider now ISKCON as an educational institution, which has actually established all over the world, our institutions or the schools or the colleges are the temples. And in the temple, the books that are followed are Prabhupada's books. And the teachers, those who give the lessons, are the senior devotees in that area. So in this way we are seeing that Prabhupada has made an arrangement where the spiritual master himself will not have to take care of his initiated disciples on a day-to-day basis. The structure itself is good enough to take care of the devotees the way it has been established by Srila Prabhupada. And here we have to also consider one important thing, that as I mentioned, the spiritual institution means an ashram. An ashram, and ashram has the guru, and the disciples receive instructions and guidance from the spiritual master guru. But here we are seeing that Srila Prabhupada actually has created a structure which is spread all over the world. It's a worldwide movement. And a personality like Srila Prabhupada only can create a movement like this, an institution like this. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada actually is the guru of this ashram. And that is why Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about his position in ISKCON as the founder acharya. Now, the GBC, we have actually translated this role of Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya is as the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. So that is the role of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the spiritual master, the Shiksha Guru of all the devotees for all time. And just a moment, I'll address your question. So he is raising your hand. And the devotees, for generations and generations, they will come and they will assume the role of a spiritual master, and they will guide the devotees who will join, and in course of time those devotees also will become spiritual masters and continue the spiritual line. But the ISKCON structure that Srila Prabhupada gave is based and arranged in a very, very wonderful way by Srila Prabhupada, and that is based on four principles. Books are the basis. Rather, the preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Purity is the force, and utility is the principle. On these principles, ISKCON movement is going to go on. Yes, what is your question? You had
very good point.
Yeah, very good point. Very relevant point. Yeah. You see, we have to understand that ISKCON is a new movement. You know, it was started only in 66 by Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was here only for about 11 years after that, and then Srila Prabhupada spread it all over the world. And when Srila Prabhupada left, the movement was actually left to young devotees who are just, you know, 7, 8, 10 years in the movement, right? So it is natural that we will make many mistakes, and we will learn from those mistakes. The thing that you have pointed out, that yes, it runs the risk of becoming mechanical, the system. But it is unfortunate if it becomes mechanical, because Krishna consciousness is not, you know, Krishna consciousness is a personal movement, right? So we cannot allow this movement to become mechanical. It has to be personal. And this personal touch will come only through our proper exchanges with each other. And these exchanges again are based on Shraddha, faith, respect, appreciation. Now, as you are saying, that devotees join the movement, they get trained up by the local devotees, but then they take initiation, and then they completely forget the help that they got from the senior local devotees. Now, it is unfortunate. And we have to, therefore, we have to recognize that all three gurus, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has pointed out that there are not three types of gurus. There are two types of gurus. Shiksha gurus and Diksha gurus. Bhatma Pradarsha guru also is a Shiksha guru. So it is not, Bhatma Pradarsha guru is not another category. He is also, he falls in the category of Shiksha guru. So there are two types of gurus. Shiksha guru and Diksha guru. And scriptures are saying that we should be respectful to both the gurus equally. And the other consideration actually is our movement, our sampradaya is not a Diksha sampradaya. Our sampradaya is a Shiksha sampradaya. Like when we see, say, Baladev Vidyabhushan was not a Diksha disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was not a Diksha disciple of Baladev Vidyabhushan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not a Diksha disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and so forth. But then what kind of relationship, what kind of line, lineage is this? This is a Shiksha line. Wherever the knowledge is flowing, wherever that teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is becoming manifest, that is the line, that is the disciplic succession. So we have to understand, the more we make advancement, more we'll realize the importance of Shiksha gurus, the other devotees who are giving us the help to make progress in spiritual life. And ultimately, it is Srila Prabhupada who is the preeminent Shiksha guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all the time. Now, yes, these difficulties that we are facing, like, see, what is the main point is lack of faith, lack of Shraddha. But spiritual life is founded on Shraddha. Adau Shraddha. So if we lose out on Shraddha, then we are actually losing our spiritual life. That's what we have to understand. So in spiritual life, what we have to cultivate is Shraddha. The faith, the respect for the devotees who are helping us in our spiritual life. The Bhakta program leader who may have helped us so much when he joined the new, as a new Bhakta, I cannot forget him and his contribution in my spiritual life. Then only I'll be able to make spiritual advancement. And as you said, like this syndrome that one takes Diksha and feels that, well, now I don't have any relationship with anybody. My relationship is only with my spiritual Diksha guru. Then if that mentality is allowed to be cultivated in ISKCON, then ISKCON will become fragmented. Different gurus, around different gurus, will have different groups. And as a result of that, ISKCON will become weak. So what is needed is that the gurus recognize that they are a part of ISKCON. And whatever groups or disciples they have are actually ISKCON's property. They are meant to be engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. And in this way, we'll be able to generate a perfect, harmonious, united international society for Krishna consciousness. Does it answer your question?
Even in the ordinary mundane schools, we see that, they have not the proper arrangement.
Right. This point actually I have answered already. The relationship between the disciple and spiritual master doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is only with Diksha Guru and disciples. There are Shiksha Gurus also. So that relationship cannot be disregarded. And ultimately, the devotee's relationship with Srila Prabhupada, although he is not giving a personal guidance now, But through his books, through the institution that he has created, through his devotees and through the temples, Srila Prabhupada is still guiding the devotees in their spiritual life. And as far as the relationship is concerned, yes, the devotees should develop their relationship with their Diksha Gurus, but at the same time, they have to also have the exchange. That Tadbiddhi Pranipatina, that same principle, must also apply to the Shiksha Gurus also. Then only devotees will make proper spiritual advancement. Yes, Hare Krishna. Yeah. The question is, the position of a devotee whose guru unfortunately left the movement. Yeah, it is an unfortunate situation, right? But the thing is, he is a part of the institution, right? So he should continue with the institution, and the void that has been created will be filled up in due course of time. His Diksha Guru may left, but what about so many Shiksha Gurus? What about Srila Prabhupada as the preeminent Shiksha Guru? Carry on. That's actually, that reminds me, the GBC actually has a resolution. What should a devotee do when the spiritual master leaves the movement? The instruction is, first they should take shelter of other advanced senior devotees and develop a Shiksha relationship with them. And then, and they should also continue with the feeling that, Prabhupada is still there and Prabhupada's institution is giving them the protection. Their spiritual master may have left, but their spiritual life is not destroyed. Right? And then they'll develop the Shiksha relationship with many other devotees. And out of them, out of those Shiksha Gurus, if he feels that he is prepared to surrender to a specific individual and take the mantra again, then he may take the mantra. There is no pressure. So that is the GBC resolution. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Sachinanda Maharaj wanted me to be brief.
No.
And I took so long.
This is the idea of the magic box. The time becomes magically influenced. Expanded, yeah. I mean it in a serious way. When we come really together to go deeper into a subject matter, and when there is such an atmosphere, it's very much desire to explore the subject more. I'm well aware that we could discuss even more on Guru Tattva and its modern application in our movement. But with your permission, I will go to an entirely different area. It's the next question. It's really interesting. It seems also the Smita Krishna Maharaj, this is a question for you. It's a little tricky, but very interesting. And I'm very, very, very curious what you answer. Please all be very concentrated. What is the difference between spiritual and spiritualized? For instance, a spiritualized apple does rot. It is not eternal. But a spiritual apple does not rot. Is the question clear to all of you? In Deutsch vielleicht nochmal, was ist der Unterschied zwischen spirituell und spiritualisiert? Zum Beispiel ein spiritueller Apfel, der vergammelt, er ist nicht ewig, aber ein spiritueller Apfel, der ist ewig, der würde nicht also verfallen.
Krishna. What? There is a story given about the spiritual master, or how we should have faith in the spiritual master. It was given in the beginning, and that is like, the guru goes with the disciples, and then he says, he says, there's a snake. And then the disciple, oh yes, it's snake. It may look like a rope, but it's a snake because the guru says so. But then how is it? Then he says, no, it's a rope. And when it's a rope, then it's a rope. So in one way, okay, that's one example how the faith of the disciple, or the power of the guru, when he says this is spiritual, then it's spiritual. But if he says it's material, then that's material. We could say as a way of understanding what is spirit and matter, it comes from the spiritual master. But now, then what is spiritual and what's spiritualized? So we say that the spiritual, well, the apple. And then we have the spiritual master who has spiritual senses at the same time. It may happen. Whether we put in samadhi or whatever, and to preserve the body, their salt. So what is it really that is spiritual, so to say? And I would say as far as I have understood, but it's
it's a difficult question, it seems.
The spiritual potency is in that apple offered to Krishna. I mean, it's spiritualized. The spiritual potency is carried by the apple, or invested in the apple. At the same time, if the prasadam is not honored in time, it, so to say, goes bad. But at the same time, you have in India we say if some food is on the floor, we will not eat it. But if the prasadam is thrown on the floor, we have heard that the faithful devotees goes and picks up the prasadam and eats it with full faith, and they don't get sick. So there we have an element of also my faith in how I receive it, so to say. Do I take the prasadam? It's lying on the floor, but it's prasadam thrown out, and the devotees like enthusiastically or with full faith takes it, and they don't get sick. But otherwise they wouldn't do like that. So there is an element of our faith. Oh, then I give the, because then I give the example with the guru and the snake and the rope. It's also a little bit the faith of the disciple in the spiritual master. So actually, depending on the instruction, something there that makes a difference in the perception, and they're able to take the spirituality. But okay.
Hare Krishna.
This. And then we have the deity. As far as I'm concerned, there is the discussion. I made some example in my presentation about the presence. The deity being present, but what we're worshipping is not, we don't worship a statue, we worship the deity. At the same time, the deity is non-different from his form. So that's, but we make a slight difference between, well, this is installed deity and a not installed deity. So how is that? So, but with the installation, or the guru says, no, this is Krishna. Yes, then it's Krishna. And thus we, Krishna reciprocates also with the devotee. He is present in a very tangible way. Well, that's, I don't know if that's best. Do you have some comment?
I can sum up your question.
Can you? Okay, good.
Well, spiritual and spiritualized. Spiritual means that is already spiritual. And spiritualized means something that was not spiritual, or rather material, that has become spiritual now by certain process. Right? Is that clear? These two points? I'm coming to that. Now, that process is called offering to Krishna with devotion. When you offer something to Krishna with devotion, although it is material, it becomes spiritualized. Now, the question is, Our eyes, our perception is material. With our perception, with our eyes, do we see spiritual things? Can we see, do we see spirit soul with our eyes? What to speak of spirit soul? With these eyes, we can't even see mind. Although we know that we have a mind, intelligence and false ego. So actually, the spiritualized apple doesn't rot. It is our vision that rots. So it is our imperfect perception that sees it is rotting. But actually the spiritual aspect of the apple is not, cannot possibly rot. An example I'll give, when Prabhupada was in London, just movement just started. Somebody had a deity of Radha Krishna, and Prabhupada, they wanted to offer it to Srila Prabhupada. And then they said that the deity's, one of the fingers of the deity was broken. Now, actually there is an understanding, if the deity is imperfect, that deity cannot be installed. But Prabhupada did not take care of that. Prabhupada did not bother about that. Prabhupada installed the deities. And Prabhupada's point was that Krishna's finger can never break. So what we are seeing is broken is our broken perception. Krishna's fingers can never break. So Krishna's form is transcendental.
I want to also just repeat the same which Smita Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Charu Maharaj have said, adding a slightly different perspective to it. I really find in Maharaj's answer of the perception a cue to this, key to this answer. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana talks about a spiritualized body which may look to the material perception like an ordinary body, but which is in real fact totally extraordinary. And he gives an example which I always felt was very good to understand. When you put paper into fire, then and take the paper out, it still looks like paper. However, you know, with the only difference, it's brown now. But it looks like paper. However, really, it's ashes from another perspective. So in the same way, a spiritualized body, let us say now, I'll speak of the apple body, the apple does look like an ordinary apple going through the transformations that an ordinary apple goes through in due course of time. But in fact and figure, on the spiritual platform, it has been accepted by Krishna, and therefore it is different. Because the questioner gave an example of prasadam, I would now like to go in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says about the Mahaprasad, which comes back from Lord Jagannath, everyone knows the ingredients which have been used to make this food, rice, spices, and so on. But it is still different. It tastes different. Its effect is different because it is touched by the lotus lips of the Lord and by the phile. Phile means the transcendental, blissful fluid of the Lord. In our language, saliva. So it looks as if it is the same, but it in, on the spiritual platform, and a personality like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can see that, it's as different. this is so this was from spiritual masters to apples and spiritualized, it's a very wide scope of subjects which we discuss. I'm now looking at the time. It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. Do you feel we should go to 10 o'clock, or do you feel this is the end? One more. One said the end, another said unlimitedly. That was so. Another said one more. Let us do one more. Rushani, this is now a very difficult. Please shake long, sufficiently strong. Oh, hopefully it's not. It looks really like a mammoth question. To take Brahman initiation, what are the 9 qualifications? Wow. Second, I have taken initiation, but I go to a non-devotee's house. My daughter, the daughter is a non-devotee. Can I do that staying in the temple? Is it possible to take Brahman initiation? It's a little, I would say, because we said one question, we will take the first question. I repeat it again, to take Brahman initiation, what are the 9 qualifications? This is a question. Who would like to jump on the question?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Hare Krishna. But I just answered a question. No, at this moment, I do not know what are the 9 qualifications. I believe there are 9 qualifications. Oh, yeah. It's you know the answer, Maharaj. In Bhagavad Gita, there are actually qualifications mentioned. And I do remember Prabhupada asked of his Brahmin initiates that they knew this verse. So, Shama, Dama, Tapa. Oh, good. Oh, Krishna. you saved me. Shama, Damas, Tapa, Shocham, Kshantiya, Ajavam, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Ashtikyam. 9 qualifications. I really would have not known the answer. I'm very embarrassed. But here, my dear God brothers have half saved me. Peacefulness is the first qualification. Self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. Now, Srila Prabhupada, that's a lot to remember, isn't it? You can find this verse for your reference in the 18th chapter, text 42. Srila Prabhupada once gave an amazing perspective on this by saying that honesty is really the most important brahminical quality. He spoke of a person who came to, I believe it was Gotama Rishi, who was approached. And this person, a young boy, wanted to take Diksha. Now, Gotama Rishi said, "Who are your parents?" The boy said, "I don't know." come back with the information.
Mm.
Now, who's your father? Yes, I'm sorry. Who's your father? Mm. The boy said, I don't know. Gautama Rishi was perplexed maybe, or shocked, or inquisitive. Yes, so find out and bring the information. So after some time, the boy came and said, I spoke to my mother. My mother is a common prostitute. She really does not remember who of the many men she received is my father. The Gautama was surrounded by his disciples, and before them he declared, this boy is fit to receive Brahman initiation. He's honest. I'm not saying that the other qualities are therefore not important. No, they must be qualified. But in my answer, I want to say honesty is very, very important. The whole spiritual life can become ruined by dishonesty or pretense, a very common quality in the age of Kali. Kapata, it's actually cheating. No? So, honesty remains a very important Brahminical quality, but these others are also very important, and I do remember I was present. Prabhupada requested a Brahmin initiate to say these 9 qualities. I will also learn it, and hopefully by tomorrow evening know all the complete shloka. Yes. Would you like Maharajas to either give an answer to this question or say something in concluding? I would very much like to request His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj to say some words because tomorrow I have heard quite early, 7:30 I heard, Maharaj will leave us to go to first London and then America. So this is the last chance where we have his association. Maybe that's how we should conclude. It would be very nice if you can bless all of us and address the devotees with either a message or some words of encouragement or what you feel is wise. Smita Krishna Maharaj and myself will remain with you all, but yes.
Thank you, Sachinand Maharaj. First of all, I want to say that I felt very happy that I came to this ferry and lager. And actually, when I decided to come, I decided to come with a sense of duty. I felt that for a long time I haven't been to Switzerland, I haven't been able to spend time, especially because last year I was very, very busy building the temple in Ujjain, so I didn't have any time to go anywhere. Practically the whole year I stayed in India, and so I thought that I would come and spend some quality time. Generally, recently when I've been coming to Switzerland, it's only to Zurich and only for a very short while, 2 days, maximum 3 days. So I thought of coming here this time for 7 days at least. And so first when I came with a sense of duty, but I must honestly admit that I'm leaving with a very wonderful feeling of fulfillment, and that I feel that it has been very wonderful for me, because first of all, to be with my 2 very dear God brothers is a very, very rare occasion, rare opportunity. Sachinanda Maharaj and myself used to spend a lot of time together. I used to come and spend a lot of time in Germany those days. And those days I didn't really have much managerial responsibility, so I was quite free. And And I used to spend a lot of time in Germany, and coming to Germany meant being with Sachinanand Maharaj. And we used to travel together, and but then gradually we got involved with more and more responsibilities in ISKCON, and time became very, very scarce. And as a result of that, I think for last quite a few years, 10, 12 years, we have hardly been able to spend time together. So this was very, very satisfying and very fulfilling, that I could come here and have this wonderful time with Sachinanda Maharaj. It's like going back to those old days. Only difference is that this time we are not traveling. This time we are stuck at one place. And also I feel very happy to see how the Swiss Jatra is developing. It was very painful to see how, actually I used to consider Zurich Temple as the, my most favorite temple. And many a times I even announced it in the temple. I told the devotees in the Bhagavatam class that Zurich is my most favorite temple. And to see how this temple gone through so much difficulties for some unfortunate accident. And now it is so, so satisfying, it's so enlivening to see that Swiss Jatra is picking up again. And I'm very impressed to see some of you, those whom I did not know before. And I mean, I just got to know you for the first time this time. And I'm very impressed with your devotion, with your ability, with your organizing capacity, with your dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And this is what is needed. This is why Srila Prabhupada actually created ISKCON. To attract the people, the quality people, first class people, to join the movement, take to Mahaprabhu's mission, and spread this movement all over the world. And I feel very hopeful now that so many of you have accepted Krishna consciousness, have come forward to help Srila Prabhupada's movement. This movement has a glorious future in this country. I'm very confident about that. And to conclude, I just want to say declare that what I am saying is not just some vain words of flattery. I really mean it. And to show that I really mean it, yesterday I actually told them, the organizers, that I am going to come back again next year.
Bravo!
And not only I will come, but I'll also get involved in organizing this Ferian Lager next year. So I'll make my plans accordingly, and please let me know when it'll be. And finally, I want to thank the organizers of this Ferian Lager for organizing it in such a beautiful way. And my only lamentation is that most of you probably had been living in a little difficult condition. I heard many devotees say that they couldn't sleep because then you all are not accustomed to stay so with so many people in one room. Like at home, probably you have your own room and you are used to sleeping alone and in a big bed. But that the voluntary difficulties that you are accepting coming here, and that is really praiseworthy, and I very much appreciate your sincere dedication to make advancement in spiritual life. And the organizers have organized it very beautifully. Of course, it goes without saying because the whole world knows about Swiss efficiency. Like Swiss do the Swiss make the best things.
Including the best cheese, yes.
Not only cheese, even when they make rasgullas, that's the best. So, thank you very, very much for organizing this festival in such a wonderful way. And those who have come to participate, I'm extremely impressed with your dedication and with your sincerity. Actually, after giving my seminar the first day, I was telling Sachinandan Maharaj that maybe I made a mistake because I selected a topic which is probably very high flown. Like, probably, because I didn't realize what to expect. I didn't realize that many of you would be new in the movement. So that's what I felt, that I saw many new faces and I felt, oh, these are all just new devotees and here I am. I selected a topic which is so deep and so complex in a way. But through the seminar I saw, like, from your response, you all are very advanced devotees, and you all are advanced because you have accepted Krishna consciousness very sincerely, and as a result of that, this transcendental knowledge is being revealed in your heart, and this is how you will make rapid spiritual progress, or I must say that you all are making rapid spiritual progress. So those who have come and participated, come back again next year to participate in this seminar. And well, I would have said that, but the problem is that the living facility may not be sufficient. I spoke to. Yeah, but that's difficult. Anyway, we will see. We will see. Next year, maybe we
management
will solve that. But what I gathered, I actually had some discussion beforehand with the organizers, and one thing I've been told is that at a time during these 4 weeks of Farian, it's very difficult to get any place. And probably, anyway, if they can get a bigger place and better place, that's of course much better. But just in case they don't get, I'm sure they'll find something. So we have 1 whole year to figure it out. So anyway, as Sachinandan Maharaj have requested you, next time not only you come yourself, you come with another person with you. So this is how you have to double it. And of course that doesn't include just your wife and children. You have to get a new person to come to the movement. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, for being the gentle soul and heart of our fairy and laga.
Hari Bo.
As far as the other questions are concerned, we will pray from the depths of our heart that the questions will appear in your own heart, like Bhakti Charu Maharaj has recommended, that the answers, yes, that the answers will manifest in your own hearts. Hare Krishna.
Jai
Srila Prabhupada. And good night. Haribo.